Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So it took WWE announcing that they were going to have a two-night takeover midweek for me to finally get an NXT takeover to Up and Down. But none of that matters because this may be, this night one of NXT takeover Stand and Deliver, may be some of the greatest wrestling I've ever seen. There, I said it. Because it had everything. It had hard-hitting stuff. It had electric tag team action. It had one of the finest main events you're ever going to see. And I'm hyped up on both black and gold goodness and a lot of coffee, I'll admit. But if this is how we are gonna go out on Wednesday nights, my goodness, what a way to go. I am Gareth from What Culture Wrestling, and these are the ups and downs for NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver Night 1. So, and this is quite a rarity for me, we actually had a pre-show to talk about today, because I don't normally get that on NXT in the week. But this pre-show match that we are going to talk about was between Toni Storm and Zoe Stark. It was announced beforehand, and oh, it was exactly what you wanted it to be. It's getting an up. And just before we even get into the match itself, Mickey James was on commentary, which I thought was a really nice touch, so that's going to get an up as well. And I don't know if it was just the fact there was a 50-50 split between LED, CWC screens, and actual people in the audience, but the energy was there right from the get-go. And sure, it wasn't the most spectacular thing that we saw on this show, because if you did that in the pre-show, it just wouldn't make any sense. But it did exactly what it had to do. It made Star look like this plucky underdog that has to overcome somebody who's technically, in the grand scheme of NXT, a bit more experienced in this arena in Toni Storm. But after being beaten, pummeled, and just overall battered on the floor, Toni Storm found herself being snapped, dragon suplexed, and kneed in the face by Zoe Stark. And then on the back of an electric chair, loads of German suplexes from Storm, it was looking like she was going to lock in Storm Zero. She rolled that up. Zoe Stark rolled that up to earn the victory, and it is just about the biggest victory in her NXT career so far. Now, I know what you're going to say. Yeah, it does leave Toni Storm in a bit of a weird situation because, like, her momentum seems to have been lost and there's no real direction for her at this point. But if that is the case, then maybe have a feud with Zoe Stark over the next coming weeks, coming months. And if not that, move her over to Raw and SmackDown. They could do with some Toni Storm. And we'll just call time there on the pre-show because we were moving straight on into the main show, the main card of the evening. And to kick things off, we had Alice Cooper's guitarist just riffing away to the American National Anthem. And obviously that's going to get an up because any live music in wrestling, it's just a simple yet effective little combination that makes your mouth water and feel good inside, because Nita Strauss was brilliant on guitar. She was just electric. And then on top of this, we also had a big giant skull in the middle of the stage, which I love because I love a bit of unique set stuff when it comes to these kind of pay-per-views. We don't do it enough. So that little skull, Nita Strauss, both of it's going to get an up. And how do you kick off a main card for an NXT two-night takeover, I hear you ask? Well, I know what you do. You throw Pete Dunne and Kushida in there because they're just going to absolutely murder each other. Now, the story's pretty simple going into this. It's just two men who claim to be the best technical wrestler in all of NXT. And, well, they kind of got this match thrown together because Kushida got both of them thrown out of the Battle Royale because he just refused to let go of his arm bar. He was just like, I'm going to take your arm, and if I'm not going to take your arm, I'm going to take you to takeover. And as you'd likely guess, the end results were as magnificent as you'd probably expect. Up! Seriously, from the very second the bell went, Pete Dunne just jumped into like a triangle attempt, and then Kushida went for an armbar. They were like, nope, we're just going to prove we are the better submission technical expert. This is not technical expertise. This is just a man flailing his arms around. Honestly, some of the transitions that were going down in this match, it was like trying to tap out. Remember that weird water wriggly snake thing you had as a kid that, like, you'd move it and it just wriggles away? way. It was like that. They were doing that to each other. They were like trying to grab each other and it was just... But after Pete Dunne had like hit an X-plex on Kushida onto the apron, it was really nasty. Things then went to the outside where I noticed that we had like the raised entrance ramp. I didn't spot that beforehand, but I noticed it when Kushida did like a handspring into the ropes and fired back with a back elbow. And I was like, oh, look at that. That is helpful. I just think the best way to summarize this match without going through every single beat, because we would be here for a very long time, is that it was the equivalent of a wrestling tennis match. It was like one person got momentum, then very quickly it went to the other person, they went to the other person again. There was a point when Kushida got Pete Dunne on the top rope, got the hoverboard lock, and just flipped him off the top rope, and then just started yanking at it for ages, and then he started moving into another position. It was just, it was too much to keep up with. Like, that entire thing gave way to a moment where Kushida was still in this never-ending armbar, and Pete Dunne kept, like, rolling him up into a pin attempt, and then go into the armbar again. It was just flip-flopping. They were flip-flopping all over the place. But because Pete Dunne has still got this absolutely excruciating obsession with snapping people's fingers and murdering them, that is exactly what happened in the closing stages of this match, because he got Kushida's fingers, he started standing on them, breaking them, doing all the bad stuff, and then he caught him with a bitter end and won the whole damn thing. But in a match like this, which was pretty much the equivalent of wrestling tennis, he can't have a loser. So both men look really good coming out of it, and I guess technically, Pete Dunne is now the best technical wrestler in NXT, so it just leads me to wonder, I wonder what Daniel Bryan's doing after WrestleMania. Gauntlet Eliminator time after this, and oh, it is getting on up. But before we get into the match itself, I will explain the rules again really quickly, because they've not explained any of this very well over the last couple of weeks. So, we're going to have to start off the match. You've got Leon Ruff and Isaiah Swerve Scott, because of the way that they got eliminated in the Battle Royale that happened on last Wednesday's NXT. And then every 3 minutes, we're going to have somebody else join into the match, and that's obviously been predetermined already, which person's going to come in at what time because of said Battle Royal. And you can only be eliminated by pinfall or submission. There, got it good. So in like flipping what happened in the Battle Royale on last week's NXT, we had, instead of Leon Ruff attacking Isaiah Swerve Scott at the start of this, they did the opposite. So Isaiah Swerve Scott attacked Leon Ruff, they started brawling all the way down the raised entrance ramp, and then Leon Ruff jumped off that, missed Isaiah Swerve Scott, landed on the barricade, and then jumped off and kicked him. He was just like a cat. It was a cat attack. Which, actually, no, think of that. That's Finn Balor's job. He will not be impressed. And then the match finally did get underway, and to be honest, I think Leon Ruff very nearly killed Isaiah Swerve Scott with, like, a cutter off the announce desk. And let me just say this now. This announce desk becomes a very vital player on this night. But Scott and Ruff wrestled a really good match for that first 3 minutes. I'd love to see it go on even longer, like a big 20-minute thing going forward. But then Bronson Reed came in, plucked Leon Ruff out of the air and threw him and missed, but he still just threw him at Scott. And then after running around like a headless chicken just trying his best to evade Bronson Reed, he eventually was sat on by the big colossal man, and then the audience were like, one more time, and he splatted him again because people are cruel. Everyone's favourite GameStop annoying as hell millionaire was out next. It was Cameron Grimes, and he started throwing money at Bronson Reed, then hit him with a moonsault. But then after this, he bribed Isaiah Swerve Scott, and they just started teaming up and just absolutely running wild and chaos on everyone. And to be honest, I was really upset by like the next major thing that happened, because Dexter Lumis obviously was the next person to come down. He walked really slowly and was just staring at the ring. But apparently the people in the NXT technical backroom team who control all the cameras and all the editing, they were also mesmerized by Dexter Lumis. So we missed Leon Ruff getting eliminated. It just kind of happened. But the move, the sequence, he was just on the floor and Isaiah Swerve Scott just pinned him, and he was like, wait, what? Did he just trip and then get pinned? Then Dexter Lumis proved why he should be an absolute just badass and should be presented that way on NXT television, because he did like two springboard back suplexes thing. It was just, they were mad. They were insane. But just before the last person entered the match, obviously LA Knight, just before he could get into things, Dexter Lumis and Cameron Grimes went flying over the top rope, and Lumis caught his leg and it bent in a way a man that's any size man's leg should just not bend. It made me wince. It made me go, no, it's going to fall off. But then LA Knight walked down to the ring. He cut a promo on everyone because he's just a massive asshole. And then he jumped. This was after he'd been in the match for a couple of minutes. He jumped straight up to the top rope and superplexed. I believe it was Isaiah Swerve Scott. I may be wrong, but I was just blinded by the height he achieved. He just just jumped straight up. Then, just as Dexter Lumis had the silence locked into Cameron Grimes' neck, it was like, oh my god, his head's gonna pop off. LA Knight jumped over, rolled him up, and yes, Dexter Lumis was out of there. But before LA Knight could celebrate this incredible moment that he's just knocked off the steely-eyed man, everybody in the match teamed up on him and he was knocked out. He lost again because the L in LA Knight stands for loser. Following the elimination, Dexter Lumis then proceeded to choke LA Knight for rolling him up, and I've got an awful feeling a very long, painful feud is on the horizon. Honestly, the final three then of Bronson Reed, Cameron Grimes, and Isaiah Swerve Scott, they did this like sequence, this exchange between all three of them. It was as fluid as the Pete Dunne Kushida stuff, but this time it was just three people. And there was a point where Bronson Reed got hit so hard he just fell onto the other two men, and I felt the earth shake from my desk like the morning after. That is quite an effect. Scott would then roll up Grimes to eliminate him, even though he'd bribed him. Well, he went back on his word, even though it wasn't really, it was weird. And then Isaiah Swerve Scott managed to get Bronson Reed off the top rope, power slam him onto the apron, hit him with a 450 splash, and still couldn't put him away. This man is unbeatable. And to be honest, this string of moves seemed to really brass off Bronson Reed, because he then hit Isaiah Swerve Scott with a powerbomb, air raid crash, and a tsunami for the win, and I very much think Isaiah Swerve Scott is dead. So there you have it, Bronson Reed is going to be taking on Johnny Gargano for the North American Championship tomorrow night, which is technically tonight. My days are all blurring, but that's the match. I think that was the right call, because if you saw this match, Bronson Reed seemed like the most over person in it, which was not what I was expecting, but that's what the crowd were telling us. He was great, they loved him, he was pointing at Johnny Gargano. I've got a bad feeling Johnny Wrestling may be about to lose his title. And just in case I forgot to do it, we're giving Bronson Reed the fact that he won this matching up, obviously.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The moment all you sadistic freaks were waiting for was then upon us, because we did have the United Kingdom champion Walter taking on Tommaso Ciampa in a match so brutal, in a match so physical, a table got slapped in half. Yep, you heard me. And before we get into it, yes, this is not just getting an up, it's getting yellow highlighter of the week up. Oh yeah, it's a takeover highlighter for a takeover match that just took over my heart. Again, the storyline coming into this was really simple. Tommaso Ciampa had his necklace ripped off that was given to him by his wife and his daughter before he had neck surgery. It had like unleashed the black heart that we'd not seen since 2018. So he announced this by walking down to the ring in his little trunks. He had his trunks back. It was back to Blackheart goodness. And he'd also shaved his head because for some reason people didn't like the fact that he had like little tufts of hair. I thought he looked fine, but with a bald head and his trunks, he looked like business. Also, just a little note. So before the match started, they had this like stare down thing they always do with all the lights go down. And you get these little graphics saying like all the key attributes these people have, these wrestlers have. And the intangible that Walter had was that he was unbeatable. That's quite the tangible. It means nobody can beat you. So I'm on that one. Give me that one all day. I'm proving he did not care how intimidating and how unbeatable Walter was from the off. He went straight after him, Tommaso Ciampa. He did not care. He just went at this man. But of course, this is Walter we're talking about. So one chop later, Ciampa was on his backside. And then he got to the outside of the ring in the little area there next to the announce table. And he went for a chop, Walter, and he hit this chop so hard and missed Tommaso Ciampa that it split the announce desk, like the thing on top of the announce desk, in half. A man's hand did that. That is terrifying. And this was a bit of a wake-up call for Tommaso Ciampa. He realised this man literally has a touch of death in the form of a right-hand chop. So what did he do? He targeted that hand. And it was one of those things. He kept blocking it, kept standing on it, kicking it, doing everything he could to this hand. But Walter, just being an absolute ring general, is what he is, he started to depend on other things other than his incredible right arm, which consisted of a boot to the face of Tommaso Ciampa, German suplexes, sleeper holds with one arm. The guy is frightening. But despite having all these alternatives to fall back on, they still weren't as effective and powerful as that right hand chop. And he just couldn't do anything with it. He was just like, it's there, it's within reach, but I just can't do anything with it. And then there was a spell where Tommaso Ciampa literally must have hit about 3,000 clotheslines, and Walter just still wouldn't go down. He just kept going at him and going at him and going at him. He was just like running into a wall with your arm, which I can't imagine is a very fun experience. But then on the back of this, Walter finally did unleash a chop. It looked like it absolutely bullied his arm, but then this made Ciampa Tommaso up. He went full Tommaso. He ran at him with another clothesline and knocked the guy down. Oh my god, he did it. But literally nothing he could do could keep down Walter, because he tried like his fairy tale ending. He tried an air raid crash off the top rope. This guy was not going down. It was going to take something super special to end this match. And by super special, I don't just mean two power bombs, because that clearly didn't work for Walter, because Ciampa's a madman and still managed to kick out. But like I said, he could still use that sleeper hold, so eventually it was only a matter of time before he locked it in on Tommaso Ciampa, but then released him with a suplex on the back of the sleeper hold. It was like a sleeper suplex. And then after this, he finally unleashed the chop. It was like a desperation chop. It was like, oh, I've got to use it. If I can only use it once, this is my golden bullet. He just did it, unleashed it, seemingly broke his hand, fell on top of Ciampa, won the match, and oh, what a match it was. I know I keep saying that. I keep saying that after every single match, but it's just, it was that kind of night. It was that kind of takeover. And something very important happened next, because last week, it completely slipped my mind. There was a lot of stuff that went down last week, but I forgot there was a little video promo thing involving a little dog, which later revealed that there was going to be an arrival of somebody next week. And yet again, we had another little thing of the dog running around. It was in an elevator this time. It ran all the way into the ring. And the reveal was that next week we will see, next Tuesday, we will see Frankie Monet make her debut in WWE. Obviously, if you don't know this already, Frankie Monet is technically Taya Valkyrie, and Frankie is the name of the dog, apparently. So that's all tied in nicely. But more than anything, I just wanted to acknowledge the fact that I'm an idiot, and I forgot to mention this last week, so it's getting up, because I love dogs. Who doesn't love dogs? Bronson Reed then had a backstage interview, obviously after winning this incredible battle royale, the biggest moment in his NXT career so far, and Johnny Gargano interrupted. He was like, no, okay, I get it. You've had your takeover moment. Well done, you. But you're about to face Johnny Takeover, and Johnny Takeover's going to kick your ass. It was a bit different, to be honest, because we've not seen serious Johnny Takeover for quite a while. So we're going to bring the Gargano meter up. There it is. We're going to bring that up, and it's going to get a 72% on the Gargano meter, because serious Johnny does things to me. Vacant NXT Tag Team Championship action was on the way after this, and what? You just knew what it was going to happen. It was going to be electric. It was going to be full of energy, brutality, all of the good stuff, so it's obviously going to get an up. It was, of course, MSK taking on the Grizzled Young Veterans, taking on Legado del Fantasma, and from the off, three tag teams thrown into a ring. It was going to be chaos. And early on, it looked like Legado was set to have a field day, because they started throwing around Wesley and Zach Gibson like they were ragdolls. But then the Grizzled Young Veterans hit like a poetry in motion thing out of nowhere, and it was literally this match after like that absolute slog that was the Walter Ciampa thing. It was like going 20 rounds in a boxing match, and then somebody going, there you go, there's three cans of Monster, have a good time. But then Legado were thrown out of the match and we had James Drake dominating Dash Carter for a while on the floor. He was just like headlocking him and beating him up. But then MSK took things up a notch, dived outside of the ring, and then Legado came back to life and they did like a double dive, like an in-sync double dive thing that was like this, but it was like buddies and it was like great. And then I felt really bad for Nash Carter after this, because after being dominated by the Grizzly Young Veterans for a little bit, Legado proceeded to bully him on his own for ages. He had the real short end of the stick here for quite some time. But then he tagged in Wesley, who just went on a one-man wrecking machine ball of fury thing. He started jumping over the top rope, kicking everyone, flipping. He just flipped. If you saw a flip, he did a flip. He did two flips into a Pele kick. He was flipping good. But you just sort of had a feeling this entire thing was going to come down to the two Dusty Cup finalists, because it sort of had to, really. So Legado were taken out by the Grizzly Young Veterans and MSK, and it just left those two to stare each other down and go nuts. Nash Carter then hit like a double cutter on the Grizzled Young Veterans, and then after this, MSK sealed the deal with like their flipping netbreaker thing that they did, and like I just said, they sealed the deal, they won the titles. Oh my god, MSK, your boys, they did it! And this was 100% the correct decision, because MSK, probably the most likable, most charismatic, explosive team in NXT right now. They deserved it off the back of that Dusty Cup brilliant showing that they had. You can really relate to them as well. Obviously, there's all the Nash Carter stuff with his father. Wesley's just an absolute dynamo. He's incredible. So give these guys a feud with either of the people involved in this match. I'll be happy, the Grizzled Veterans or Legado, to give them something substantial to do going forward. They are money, they are exciting, and they just fill my heart with joy. I mean, somehow we're now at the main event. It was that kind of night. It was that kind of show. It just went poof by like an instant. Of course, it was Io Shirai defending her NXT Women's Championship against Raquel Gonzalez. Big Mammy Cool. But then before we could even get to the match, Stephanie McMahon was suddenly shown on screen next to Sarray, who is this new signing that we've got here in NXT. But it all felt kind of nostalgic, because we've not had like a surprise big debut reveal in the audience at a takeover for quite some time. So that alone's getting an up, because it just reminded me of simpler times. But we were then, of course, into the match that seemingly has been in the makings for like 12 months now. It was the big one. It was David versus Goliath. That sounded so much better in my head. But then the match, which seemingly has been like in the making for about 12 months now, was underway, and Io Shirai ain't scared of nobody. She will not die, and she just went straight after Gonzalez. And to be honest, we've seen this tactic used a couple of times against Gonzalez, where we just try and outpace her and keep everything high octane, really fast and really like athletic and agility based. If you do that, you seem to have a good chance. And she did that through drop kicks, hurricane runners. She did like a diving crossbody into the corner turnbuckles. It was some pretty nuts stuff. Then a springboard moonsault seemed to open the door for a bit of Shirai dominance, but that is not what happened, because she hit the moonsault, then Gonzalez came back from the dead, lawn darted her into the post, and then hit her with like a flipping slam thing, which seemed to twist Io Shirai in positions and just bodily forms I've never seen. And this is where I think Raquel Gonzalez's overall improvement just came into play, because we saw like a reverse powerbomb onto the ropes from her, which a couple of months ago we wouldn't have dreamed of seeing something like that from Gonzalez, but she has upped her game big time. Gonzalez then got Shirai in like a torture rack thing, which she then reversed out of and hit with a double stomp. She then went for the tiger faint kicks. It was all nut stuff, but this of course was leading to a bit of action on the outside of the ring, which then saw Io Shirai hit a moonsault from the top rope onto this raised entranceway, and then she hit with like a double knee to Gonzalez's face, but then disappeared. And I say disappeared, because within seconds she suddenly arrived at the top of the damn skull. You know, the skull I mentioned at the start on the stage, she was on top of that, and she did a crossbody thing, very similar to what she did at In Your House. When she jumped off top of the house, she jumped off the top of a skull instead. It was nuts. The sound it made, I was worried. But she then dragged Gonzalez back into the ring, hit her with another moonsault, and Gonzalez somehow kicked off. When I tell you my jaw hit the floor, I thought I had a concussion. Before you knew it, a single arm powerbomb on the outside of the ring from Gonzalez led to a body exploding lariat on the inside. Seriously, it was frightening. And another one-armed powerbomb to Io Shirai. You guessed it. Raquel Gonzalez got the win, 1-2-3, and new. And obviously I know a lot of the plaudits are going to go straight to Gonzalez. Oh my god, she's improved so much, which she has. She's been excellent. I've loved her for months and months and months now. This has been a long time coming. But you cannot take anything away from Io Shirai in this incredible run. Look at the people she's gone through. She has held this division together. She's been the gold standard. It wouldn't surprise me if she wins this belt back at some time going forward, because I don't know who else is going to take it away from Gonzalez. It's impressive. They've both been impressive. It was just, I could watch another 20 minutes, another 40 minutes, another hour hour of this match. It was so good, I cannot sing enough praises for it. What a way to go out. And if it wasn't abundantly clear so far, this entire night, this entire thing, night one, this is just night one, gets a big old up. It was incredible. I mean, like I said, if this is the way we're going to go out on Wednesdays, not a bad way to do it. It's just magnificent stuff. And night two, Simon Miller, you follow that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.